Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of John Paxson, and we are delighted to welcome him into the program, the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Chicago Bulls. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Congratulations on that deal. You know, if someone had told me before the season started that you'd be able to trade Nico for a first-round pick, I'm not sure I'd have believed it. And certainly when we saw the issue that happened earlier in the year with Bobby Portis, I don't think we ever expected that would happen either. And yet, you know, to his credit, he played well. And to your credit, you got this deal done.
Well, you're right. To his credit, Nico handled everything that happened well. As I've said, I think we talked about before, you know, that was such an unusual circumstance that happened that you just don't see. And, you know, and it took him some time to digest how it all went down. But he did. He handled it great, and he came back, and he played very well. Played with probably more confidence and freedom than he'd played with the entire time he'd been here. And so that was helpful to us, too, because he obviously had value, you know, in that regard. And well, what we did, you know, we talked about it internally since we made the deal for Jimmy on draft night is, you know, this is going to be a process of getting better, and we're going to have to be patient. And if we can accumulate draft assets that make sense for the future, that's what we would try to do. And so, you know, for us, it's a good thing. For Nico, I think it's going to be a great thing. With Cousins out, you know, for them, he'll go down there, and I'm sure he'll play 35 minutes a game and, you know, do what he does well alongside of Anthony Davis. So I'm happy for him and appreciate all he did for us.
Pax, is it fair to say, and you mentioned all the time Nico was here, and I don't think most of us got to know Nico, and you obviously around him and know him, but maybe he didn't allow us to know him. Maybe he didn't contribute enough where he was front and center like he was in December, where the personality came out and people start to see, you know, the player and the person behind it. But, you know, why didn't it work out here? I mean, the expectations coming in were much higher than maybe what his contributions end up being for the Bulls.
Well, I think you have to look at, you know, the time frame of it. If this were happening right now with Nico, you know, just coming over here, then we could look at him as potentially a piece of the puzzle 4 or 5 years down the line. But you know, that's not the case. And I guess I wouldn't say it didn't work out. I mean, he had, you know, he had some setbacks almost every year. You know, he had this appendectomy that the 1 year that kept him out, and he lost a ton of weight that set him back a little bit. But so he didn't have the consistency. I do think that, you know, this past summer was the first time really that Nico didn't have a national team commitment. You know, he spent a lot of time just kind of working on his body, and I think that gave him some real confidence. So it's just, you know, I think this type of deal is just consistent with the plan that we put in place in June, and we have to look long term. You know, if we were to keep Nico at this point, you know, we knew this past summer when he was a restricted free agent what he was looking for financially, you know, and now on a short-term type of deal with him, if we were to, you know, to commit dollars going forward next summer or something like that, we understand what those dollars would be, and that would maybe limit some of the flexibility and things that we'd have available to us going forward. So again, it's just consistent with kind of how we've been approaching it. We feel lucky that we did get the draft asset, you know, that New Orleans, you know, gave to us. And now we move on, and it'll give more of our young players an opportunity to play. And we need to see that.
John, there've been reports that, some people believe you have the best, young, core in the league. Do you believe that? Do you believe the core of players that we've seen here is as good as anyone and you can build with that?
Well, we can definitely build with it. I'm not going to sit here and oversell anything because, there's still a long, long way to go. I mean, the three players we got in the Jimmy deal, we are very, very high on. I think Lowry has shown he's better than we anticipated early on. And he's a guy that I think with strength and improving, continuing to improve his skill level, given the way our game is with that size and ability to shoot the ball and play, make, and pass, we just have to believe he's going to get better and better. Chris Dunn was starting to really come into his own and show who he can be, but he has a ton of room for growth. As good as Chris had been before the concussion, there's so many areas offensively, his ability to finish at the rim that we believe as a young player he can get much better at. And then Zach is just coming back. But I think you can see when you watch him, he struggled a little bit lately, and that's understandable when you think about his injury and all the time off. But I think when you watch him, you see, again, the potential of a great athlete, a great shooter, a guy that playing the way we want to play, up-tempo, he'll fit in. So never going to oversell this thing because they all three of those players have a lot of room to grow, but they're young. And that's really the gist of our decision here is to go with the young guys and see if they can become better. I haven't even mentioned Denzel Valentine and Bobby Portis, both who have had really good moments. And the key there being that they're getting consistent time out on the floor. They're playing through mistakes, but they're learning every day. So we like the direction we're headed. I think we're adding a draft asset. We're going to have our own pick this year. That's how we're going to build, and we're going to be patient with it. We're not just start throwing money at players just for the sake of doing that. We look at this as a several year plan, and we're going to go step by step with it.
Yeah, you said Doug Collins was always a phone call away from you in an unofficial capacity, but now that he's officially part of the Bulls family, how has that dynamic worked out? How much did he help in getting this deal done?
Well, Doug's responsibility now more than anything is to counsel all of us with his knowledge and his expertise in the game. I know he's been very valuable to Fred and our coaching staff. He's been tremendously valuable to me. I mean, Doug and I talk almost every day, and he's just a very good support system. So Gar does all the heavy lifting with these type of deals. He talks to all the GMs and the agents, and he's in constant communication with those people as we decipher how we want to go about it. But he did a great job in this communication with New Orleans through what turned out to be kind of a unique and difficult deal to get done. So he deserves a ton of credit for that. But Doug's been great. I think, as I think I've told you guys before, it's just adding another voice, another really bright mind and set of eyes. And his value will come as we, talk about players in the draft and we talk about players to add going forward. So, he's been great.
You got six more days to make another deal if you want to. Is there more work to be done, John? Are you talking to other people?
Oh, yeah, possibly. I think the fact that we got this done early before the deadline allows us time to look at some other things. So, but again, we're not going to do anything rash. Like I said, I think this deal allows a couple of our young guys to get more minutes on the floor, especially Paul Zipser and Chris Felicio, who, we do believe has a future with us, but he hasn't gotten much of an opportunity this year. And even when he did early on, he was pressing and didn't play well. But a guy like that the other night in Portland played pretty well. So we need to see them. I think the whole thing when you're in the position we're in is you have to effectively evaluate who you have on your roster. And, there's so many times where you see young guys on your roster only in practice because you got a veteran team and you're out there and you don't get to see what they can do under pressure. So for us to truly evaluate, you have to get them out on the floor in NBA games against NBA players and see what they can possibly be and see if they fit your future. So that's where we're at with a lot of our young guys. And it's in that regard, this is another step up. And I, I think too, you know, when we look at the deal we just made, and you're always looking for ways, you know, to potentially get better. And, you know, part of this deal was getting a pretty large trade exception, $12.5 million, which means over the course of the next year, you know, if there's a situation where we can absorb a contract at that amount or less, depending on the cap room we have, those types of things, that's another little chip you can look at to maybe acquire a player you like or acquire a draft asset that you like. So, again, there's a lot of positives in this for us. We understand the situation we're in, and, you know, we're just moving forward now.
And many of us are conflicted whenever you watch a team rebuild that you have a passion for, and we know how competitive you are as a player, as a front office. So picking the direction must have been difficult enough, but now that it's here, you want to win games, but you know in the long run you don't want to win games. How tough is it to be shuttling off talents for draft picks and hoping, you know, the core does well, but maybe not necessarily well enough to get another W?
Well, I don't sit here and, you know, when you're in, you don't want to not win games, because that's the, you know, it creates a culture that's difficult for you. But the thing I learned early this year, when we were 3-20, and we lost in Indiana, a game that we played very well in and lost in the last 4 minutes. What I found out was with our coaching staff and with our players is that they weren't affected by that. They just kept working, and they had a belief. The one thing you can, if you have the right environment with young guys and you're trying to develop them, and as long as you're working hard and not souring on each other or anything you're doing, I think it's a positive. And what we found in that was that these guys responded to you know, Dunn's emergence, you know, Lowry's emergence. They responded to the way Fred wants to play, and Fred and the staff deserve a lot of credit for this. And you know, their responsibility and goal the rest of the year, they have to compete and try to win games, but it's to get our young guys out there and develop them and coach them hard, get them to understand what's the right thing to do on the floor, what they can't do, make them better players. When they do that, it's going to help us down the road.
It's interesting, John. We've been comparing Fred to Joe Maddon because Joe Maddon was a genius right up to the point till he won a World Series, and everybody's wondering what's wrong with Joe. And Fred didn't know how to coach right up to the point till you guys started losing, and now all of a sudden we're seeing the best of Fred. How good is he doing? Does it give you confidence in him, the system he's running, that the team has played as well as they have given the rebuild?
It does. I think Fred's done a real good job. And I point to last summer, you know, really when June came around and we had our young players in the building and Fred and the staff were there, they were working, they were attentive to these young players. And you know, you have to look at the league and the way the game's being played now. And it's a more open game. It's a game based on, you know, spreading the floor and shooting. You know, it's still based on penetration, and you like guys that can get to the basket. You still like guys inside that, you know, that can score the basketball. But, you know, that's one of the things that we liked about him, you know, when we did hire him, is that he does have a good understanding of that type of basketball. So, yeah, he's been really good. He's been very positive with the guys for the most part, that's an important quality when you're young and you're trying to, you know, get them to play at a, you know, at a good level. So, it's been good. And I don't want to discount either. You know, his right-hand man is Jim Boylan, and Jim's a, you know, just a, you know, basketball junkie. He's a grinder every day, and he's done a good job. The area that we obviously need to really improve on, especially when we get, you know, Chris Dunn back and Lowry, who's, you know, been missing a couple games. The defensive end of the floor for young players is always the hardest part of the game to learn. And that's what these, you know, these young kids, that's where one of the areas they really have to grow. But you have to be patient with them. So, the entire thing, we know now, you know, look, we took a 16, 17 point a game score off our roster. That's significant, and we understand what that means. But again, we're taking the long-term view And we just want our guys to continue to compete every night, practice hard every day. We'll live with the results.
We'll let you go. Any idea when Chris will be back, Lowry will be back, and Zach LaVine's minutes will increase?
Well, we're still going to be fairly conservative with Zach. The one step you don't want to miss with a player like that when he's coming back is in the strengthening area in the weight room. And, you know, if you overload him right now with things on the floor, the minutes, and, you know, if he's sore or feeling tired, the area that gets neglected is the weight room, and he has to keep his strength up. That's going to be imperative. So I'm not sure we'll ever get to the point this season where he's, you know, he's allowed to play 40, 45, you know, in a game, 45 minutes in a game. That may not be, we haven't gotten there yet, but, you know, it could trend that way. But if he's in that 30 range, whatever, that's significant given the injury that he had coming back. We hope Lowry's back for the Sacramento game. And as far as Chris, I know he's doing better, but he had a few little setbacks. You guys saw the fall. It was
John.
And we check our teeth every time we mention it.
Yeah. And just the blow itself to, you know, that he took to the head is, you know, it's those are tough things to come back from. So again, you know, I think the one thing you have to understand too, he's had very little physical activity now for several weeks, and that's going to be an issue in getting back to getting his conditioning and those things. So again, we're going to err on the side of being conservative with him, and we'll go from there. And you know, so but we feel good about everything. And the other thing, I guess I should say to you guys, I know that we're now you guys are our new broadcast.
We're family, yes. Pax. We're family.
I, John, is it true that you're coming on twice a week and we can broadcast from your office during the draft? That's fantastic.
Do not get carried away. But you guys do realize that when I did radio, I used to work with Mitch.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Mitch and I've known Mitch for a long time, and so
they don't come any better than Mitch, for sure.
Yeah, you got that right. So I know it's important for the Bulls, and we're happy to be a part of it.
John, you're the best. Thank you. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, Pax. Okay. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
That's John Paxson, the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations.
There you go. A lot there. Last look at the roads. Jill, have a wonderful weekend. Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm going to have to go Patriots.
Front runner.
You know why? No, it's my girly intuition.
Okay, there's that. Have a great weekend, Jill.
You too. It's getting busy out there. Traffic sponsored by BP Vaseline. No, how about gasoline? There is a crash on the inbound Eisenhower, and it's right at 355 in the right lane. It is an hour heading inbound from 390, 40 as you head in from Wolf Road. Outbound trip, though, 38 minutes on the Edens, 23 and 26 south. The Kennedy, 52 heading in from O'Hare. Stall in the right lane at North Avenue. Now, the Stevenson outbound has reports of a crash at King Drive. Only 34 out, 50 back in. Inbound Ryan 28, outbound 15. Minor crash right on the shoulder before the Ryan on the inbound Ford, but nevertheless a delay. Tollways filled in the usual spots. Fortunately, no crashes. Deposits from Minimum Detergent Fuels can strain your engine. Help keep it clean with BP gasoline with Invigorate. It's their best fuel ever. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks a lot, Jill. This segment has been brought to you by CC's. That's right, CC's. At CC's, if you don't see what you want on the buffet, you can order it, your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, and it's included with your buffet. Just five and change, only at CC's. Dine and only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us. He is, of course, the football man from the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor, dear personal friend, Biggs A.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
You tell us. Who you taking?
Well, we are...
Let's not bury the lead. Let's get to it. Who do you have?
Yeah, I picked the Eagles by a point, guys. I know that's a little bit dangerous, and I ran into our friend Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback and guy who does a little bit of everything in the media nowadays, and he's a very, very confident that the Patriots will win this football game, and that very may well happen, but. With the point being, I think, in the discussion, not just with Jim last night, but that, you know, you got Brady against Nick Foles, and you'd probably take Brady over any NFC quarterback that's healthy in the league right now. But I kind of turned it around and I said, yeah, you had Brady versus Blake Bortles 2 weeks ago, and it took fourth quarter heroics to pull that off. And while I think we've all gained a real measure of respect for the Jacksonville defense, Philadelphia is a much better team than Jacksonville, a much more complete football team than Jacksonville. And I like the way that the Eagles have gone about their business this week.
And so when you pick the Eagles like that, and a lot of people are saying not only the quarterback disparity, but the coaching disparity, but ultimately it is the players who got to win or lose this game. So whatever Bill Belichick's game plan going in or halftime adjustments may be, you like the idea that the Eagles just all top to bottom have the better talent on the field.
Well, I like the job that Jim Schwartz has done as defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. He got run out of Detroit and went to Buffalo, did a top-notch job there for one season as defensive coordinator, partnered up with Doug Peterson with the Eagles, and you have to like what they've done defensively. Fourth in the league in points allowed, fourth in the league in takeaways. I don't know that there's more important defensive statistics than that. If you're in the top four in those two categories, I think you're doing a lot of things right. Does that mean they can shut down Tom Brady in New England? I'm not saying that, but you know, I think Philadelphia's got a real chance here, and I think most would agree that the Patriots' defense this season hasn't been quite as good as it has been in the past. They've certainly handled some injuries along the way. Dante Hightower going out early in the season was a significant blow. So I think Philadelphia's primed here for an upset, guys, or has a real chance. And then another statistic I saw at the beginning of the week, and I don't have it in front of me, but just go back and take a look at the final score of all these Super Bowls that the Patriots have been in, and they're all close games. It's 3-3-4. I think they might have won one game by 6 points, and then the losses that they had to the Giants were by, I believe, 3 and 4 points. So the Patriots have been in close Super Bowls. Certainly you like Belichick and his coaching staff in a close game, but if you did just ask me, you know, point blank, on the plane coming down here, the Patriots have blown somebody on the Super Bowl, I'd say, yeah, of course they had to have. They've been so good, but that hasn't happened. So I think it's going to be a close game, and I think the Eagles have got a chance to get it done, guys.
You know, it's funny, Brad. I ended up picking the Eagles after going back and forth, and I felt like I said that this morning. I felt like an idiot because I'm sitting here telling you that a team that was without their quarterback and their left tackle is going to beat a team that wins the Super Bowl for a living. But I was thinking about the defense, and I was thinking about the ability of their defensive line to create havoc. And I was thinking about the idea that you talk about Minnesota and how they play so well. They were the only team that played better this year statistically than Philadelphia, but they also played indoors on a faster track, and now we're taking that defense and we're putting it on a faster track. Shouldn't that help them a little bit? I mean, I think they can play even better than they did at home, if that isn't insane.
Yeah, I think they've got a chance to play really well indoors on Sunday, and I go back and look at what Philadelphia has done from the beginning of the year, how Philadelphia has weathered some significant injuries of their own, and it maybe it's a team of destiny. Now, I've got two concerns about the defensive line for the Eagles, or I guess I should say how the Patriots will handle the defensive line from the Eagles. And one is potentially going tempo. If New England goes no huddle consistently, that could really hurt the Eagles' ability to substitute, so you could get some guys gassed. And then there's nobody better. So is he involving Burkhead, Deion Lewis, whoever they choose to feature, because it seems to change regularly out of the backfield. If he's getting quick passes to them, that could also wear down that defensive line for Philadelphia, which is one of the best. If you're just looking at ranking position groups in this game, you probably have Brady number one. That's a no-brainer, okay? But I would think that the Eagles' defensive line would be really high, if not, you know, second as in terms of position groups in this game, behind the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady.
Does Brian Urlacher get the call tomorrow?
I think he's got a really good chance. I do. You know, I know a good number of people that are on the selection committee. Of course, our good friend Dan Pompey will present him, and you know, everybody knows that Dan will do a first-class job in that regard, but you never know, you know, how things will be perceived or what people will be thinking in terms of Brian Urlacher versus some of the other modern era candidates. I would think his chances are very good, but at the same time, I think most people would agree that, you know, every year, almost every year, there's one guy where you kind of look at it and you say, boy, I'm a little surprised he didn't get in this year. So I don't know that it's a slam dunk for Brian, but I would think that his chances are pretty darn good going into that meeting tomorrow morning.
All righty, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend and look forward to talking to you on Monday.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks pal. Brad.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. And
you guys are killing me.
Fun stuff there.
Because Eagles.
Yeah.
Hey, you and your 40-1 futures bet on Philadelphia, everyone's on board with you, and you're nervous about that.
Yes.
No, everyone on the panel was against it. So
yeah, I think the next 3 days, it's going to take a turn, though. I think so. With people flying out to Vegas.
Sure.
Your average $100 bettors, I think they're going to be going in.
I love the
New
fact
England.
That you're hedging on the green color of Pink's hair just to try to offset.
My list is like 50 props. They narrow it down. I like the Pro Football Focus that Fortenbaugh mentioned.
That's a terrific lock.
They mentioned it every Sunday. They're definitely going to mention it on the Super Bowl.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And Brian is also on the Patriots, as is the rest of our esteemed panel.
We had Howard Eskin.
Except
on,
for me. I'm on the
Howard Eskin, the man, the myth, the sports talk legend of Philadelphia.
He put everybody on the Patriots.
It's unbelievable. The texters blew up after that saying, I was all for the Eagles, but not now. Yeah, I don't want to root for the Patriots, but after hearing Howard so certain that the Eagles were going to not only win, but keep Tom Brady's offense under 20 points.
His kind of arrogance.
We had a lot of takes on the East Coast arrogance, to use your word. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's wasn't my word. It was
no. They used
Texas.
Some other more colorful.
Oh, yeah.
Words.
No, he was not as popular a guest as you'd hope for. As popular as he is in Philadelphia, he was not really embraced by the fine people of Chicago. And you know, I said to him, we started the interview, and I said something along the lines of, you know, if Nick Foles wins the MVP, do you trade Carson Wentz and what could you get from him? And he didn't find any humor in it. He called it like a typical sports radio take or something. He just like, really? I didn't mean that seriously. I mean, the guy was the MVP of the league and we all know that he's the starter next year. But don't whatever you do, don't try to make a joke about the Eagles to Howard Eskin.
No, not having it. He was in face was on. He was already
ready to play.
Yeah.
Yes,
what
about the Eagles jinx? Doesn't that come into play? Eagles, you know, forever a bridesmaid, team that hasn't won a Super Bowl.
You combine that with the Patriots mystique? That doesn't.
I'm just saying, if you like that sort of thing, I threw it out. That stuff doesn't come into play, does it?
The historic stuff about, you know,
if that
this
were the
organization
case,
is
the Bears would be the, you know, the team of the 40s would still be winning, right?
Exactly. That just speaks to how poorly an organization's been run. It's not necessarily the people's the players, the people, those teams in the 20 years past are not the same. So whatever baggage they had doesn't really compare. It's just sometimes it does speak to the fact that an organization's not very good.
And we will be talking about it on Monday. This is the final football game of this year, but then the real fun begins. You get into free agency, you get into the draft stuff. Will there be a lesson for the Chicago Bears, a lesson they can heed from watching this game, from seeing these teams, from seeing how quickly different teams have managed to improve or to keep themselves in an improved state? Is there a lesson here that we'll be talking about on Monday after this game?
Yeah, the hope is that Mitch Trubisky is closer to Tom Brady than he is to Nick Foles, but if he happens to be closer to Nick Foles than he is to Tom Brady, you better really emphasize the defense as you move forward.
Okay, emphasize the defense. I like it. We'll see Stephen Gilmore. He was a guy that the Bears tried to pursue, and when asked about that, he said basically that, I think I'm pretty good where I'm at. And,
yeah.
The money was, I guess you'd have to blow him out of the water with the money to outbid the Patriots, given the fact that he's in a Super Bowl.
Bears have plenty of that, right?
Malcolm Butler is a guy that was suggested could move to the Bears. That do much for you?
They have a lot of money, right? I mean, it's just getting someone enticed enough to want to make that move and make that leap.
You know, when players don't want your money, it becomes a little more difficult than you'd normally think.
It keeps the hole a little deeper than you want. You're trying to get out of that hole, and if no thanks, but no thanks, I'll take it. I'll take less money to go to a team that's closer to winning. That's the ultimate insult, right?
And again, the Bulls are now on the score, and you can listen to the game here tomorrow. It's unusual for a team to be changing stations in midstream, but this is the place to hear the Bulls, and we'll get we'll have a fun listen to I don't know. I guess we'll get more of some of these players. We'll be able to get a sense of who exactly Cristiano Felicio is.
Well, it didn't sound like Chris Dunn's anywhere close to coming back.
It didn't sound like he's close.
You know, remember, guys,
he
hasn't done any activity, so we assume he's got to get back into shape after.
And why drag Lowry all the way out to the West Coast if that doesn't help you? I'm just looking for ways to improve the draft position, because I think now that the Nico trade is done, and again, Nico traded yesterday, we talked to Pax about that. There's still a couple more guys that could be moved, right? There's still some more work to be done. The fact that they got that trade done as early as they did maybe gives the Bulls a chance to get a couple more things done. A couple of another asset or two would be wonderful, right? I don't think Robin Lopez is going to bring you a first round pick, but maybe you get something. Maybe you get a little something, something. I mean, the door is open. The phone lines are available for anybody in the NBA that wants to make a deal. Come and talk to them.
Hey, and there, I read a story yesterday. The Tribune carried it. It was not a Tribune story, but talking about the hangover from the 2016 spending binge, the free agency when the CBA, then the new network money came in and everyone could sign their free agents to these unbelievable contracts, and everybody who wasn't anybody were getting $150 million deals. And the Bulls are one of, you know, say what you want about the front office and, you know, criticisms that go along with GARPAX. They're one of a handful of teams that really are not living with those contracts, like Joakim's in New York, Luol Deng's in Los Angeles, and then a whole host of players you'd be hard-pressed to pick out of a lineup who were signed to 4-, 5-, 6-year deals at unbelievable amounts of money, and now these teams are cash-strapped and salary-cap-strapped, more importantly. And Pax mentioned the trade exception. They got the $2.5 million that they do have flexibility moving forward in the next couple of years. So when they hopefully are as good as they expect to be, they will have money to spend in free agency, where a lot of these teams will not have that, because I believe the salary cap is actually going down this year. So the Bulls were not, and you know, not out there waving money at everyone, and maybe people wouldn't have come here other than D. Wade at the time anyway. But whatever the circumstance, it might play out to their favor now, because there are a lot of teams that have wish lists and they have no way of getting those things done because they signed players to unbelievable contracts that are not productive.
The Blackhawks lost. I don't know when we're going to be talking about the finality of that. There's still baseball players to be signed. We'll get into some of that talk again next week.
It's got to be this weekend, right? During the Super Bowl, we'll get a Yu Darvish announcement? No.
I think you got to wait till after the Super Bowl, don't you? So you don't distract from it? Oh,
the
no,
NFL
no.
rules.
That's,
said, yeah,
that's
be,
the World Series. Never mind.
The NFL announces that no baseball signings can be announced during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a good game. Gronk has been cleared to play. There are a bunch of Eagle players that are sick. Let's hope it's not the flu, but that's been going around. And again, the big game is Sunday, but the big game here on the Score is tomorrow, 2:15. You'll get to hear your first Bulls broadcast on the Score. So tune in for that.
Yeah. That big game, though, will also be on the Score.
I know. I'm saying both this games. Is. I was saying
the
that this is the place
the
to
the
be.
Eve of the big game.
It's exactly
eve
right.
Eve of the big game.
So don't take your finger off the dial.
Make yourself a cross sport prop bet between the Bulls game and the Super Bowl.
Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. I want to thank all the wonderful guests and all the wonderful crew. And most of all, thank you for listening. It means a lot to us.
Have a great weekend. Have a great Super Bowl party on Sunday. We'll be back bright and early Monday morning to talk about it all live at 5. Please join us.
It's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.